B-Pod Studios.
Violet Brown driving.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Looks like Grant Williams will replace Tristan Thompson. Smart will trigger the inbound. Lobs it to the far side of the floor. Grant Williams finds Jaylen Brown. Steps into a right side three. No good. Rebound. Grant Williams taps it up. No good. And the Celtics are beaten on New Year's Day night in Detroit in a frantic finish.
And, you know, the thing is, you had the looks that you're Boston all night long. At the end, here's another wide open look. Good pick set by Tice. And Brown has a chance to come over, put the ball in his hands, seal the deal. Just not enough.
Celtics missed their final 10 or 11 shots. The Pistons close it on an 8-0 run. And they get their first win of the year, beating the Celtics by a final of 96-93.
Hey, Marcus, why do you think you guys started the game so poorly?
Wasn't ready. 27. You came out like a daisy.
Yeah, I would say so. Welcome to the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, you at 617-779-0985. My first one of the year. I wasn't here last week when you guys tipped this whole thing off. But yesterday, Celtics lose to a wretched and previously winless Pistons team. 96-93 was the final. After the game, you hear Marcus Smart, and he, along with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, in the postgame, all said sort of versions of the same thing. We weren't ready to start the game. Brad Stevens also said the same thing. Had no answers as to why they weren't ready to go. And before we can dive into the why and why they weren't prepared, and then, you know, it looks like this is going to be an inconsistent but consistently frustrating team. I do think that we can take that away from the first week or so of them playing games. Or at least it's going to be bumpy to start. I will say this, just selfishly, I have to tell you this. And I tweeted about this last night when the game ended. I'm so mad at myself because I knew in my bones, Chris, I knew they were going to lose this game. I knew it. I know the Pistons suck. I know that Blake Griffin wasn't even playing because he was out with a concussion. They're a wretched team. And this was just, it had all the makings of a Celtics feeling too high on themselves after Jaylen Brown goes off with a career high against that bad Memphis team at home the prior night. We had New Year's. Maybe those guys were getting into it. Like, and, you know, I don't blame them. Like, you know, you can't go out anywhere, but maybe imbibed a little bit too much with New Year's. You now head to Detroit, a team that you should just beat just by showing up. It had all the makings. And I also think that, you know, this team's going to be inconsistent, and it's going to be bumpy for them early. And there's things about the bench stinks. They're really only going to get their points from Brown and Tatum. You're still waiting for Kemba Walker to come back. You can't trust really anyone else. I was like, oh, I never really bet on sports anymore. And earlier in the day, I had gotten a heads up in my email that I still had like $50 left in a BetUS.com account. And I was like,
interesting.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at it, and I kind of did a deep dive on the Pistons, looking at, like, you know, fan blogs and stuff. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. I'm not betting on the Pistons. But it, like, in my bones, it's like, no, bet on the Pistons, you puss. Put the $50 on them. They're going to beat the Celtics.
What would your grandfather have done?
Oh, he would have degenerate old James Barrasso. That's who was talking to me, my dearly departed grandfather from only 30 years ago. Bet, like Fred Flintstone back in the day. Bet. Put the $50 on the Pistons, you pussy. And I didn't. And, oh, I knew it. I knew the Celtics were going to lose this game. But, boy, the Pistons really didn't play very good defense. They're not a very good team.
No, they can't shoot the three.
But it's like the ball was buttered again. Turnovers continue to be a problem for the Celtics since they played their very first game. And when I was on during the week a little bit, filling in for Felger and Maz, Chris, I felt like, well, I've seen this throughout the league a little bit, just watching highlights or occasional bit of NBA TV. Like, it feels to me like turnovers have been up early anyway, and that has to do with the very short preseason.
Yeah.
There's going to be some sloppiness. There's going to be some rust. You have some teams, like Detroit, who basically haven't played in a year. But for the Celtics, you're only a few months removed from the bubble. Now the turnovers thing, it's starting to bother me. I don't think it is rust. I don't think it is a short preseason. They're just playing sloppy basketball night after night. And again, the bench isn't very good.
No, the bench is bad. I mean, and I know, you know, there's sort of the Peyton Pritchard party, and he's played well. He certainly has had his moments, but last night, you know, 16 minutes, he was scoreless. And he had two assists and two turnovers. He just didn't make the impact that they needed him to. And I thought, I know I'm sort of a, you know, I've been a little bit of a one-trick pony on this, but Where's Aaron Nesmith? I mean, you had 10 minutes to play Carson Edwards and Semi Ojeleye combined. And, I mean, Carson Edwards, nice kid. I didn't like him when they picked him coming out of Purdue because I thought he was a volume scorer in college, but I just thought he didn't have enough athleticism and his body type would be tough in the NBA. He's a lost cause, Jim. He's like the 11th or 12th guy on the roster. He gets 4 minutes and 28 seconds and Nesmith can't get out there. And I know Nesmith looks sort of lost on defense, but you needed some shot makers last night. You needed guys to shoot shots. And I'll tell you what, in the fourth quarter, instead of Grant Williams late jacking up a three in the final 4:15 when they went without a basket, or even Marcus Smart jacking up a three, I would feel better about the guy that the president of basketball operations said when they drafted, he's right now is the best shooter on our team.
Yeah.
Getting an opportunity to shoot those shots. Brad has to use him. Like, this is the reason Brad is the coach, is because he's supposed to be able to develop younger players. Let me ask you, who has he developed other than guys that were top five picks?
No one.
I mean, I could have just kept, I know Doc Rivers left, but like, this was the knock on Doc. He didn't like rookies. He wouldn't play him. They couldn't figure out the defensive rotations. He'd make them earn their time. He didn't develop anybody. I mean,
Doc developed
Rajon Rondo.
He made Jags look better, but they weren't guys that were like, you know.
No. Yeah. It was like, you know, Evan Turner, Jordan Crawford, like guys
Crowder,
like that.
Guys like that, yeah.
Guys like that, Brad's done well with. But this was the whole point of bringing in Brad as a college coach, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so these bad starts, these disasters in the third quarter, like, this is also on him. You know, I think he's complicit in a game like last night. Like, why aren't they ready to go? And I know he's not a rah-rah guy.
Yeah.
And it's why Adam Jones refers to him as G. Willikers, for God's sakes.
Yep.
But, you know, it's with a game like last night, to start like last night, Chris, like, I wonder if they've tuned him out. I think that's a fair question to ask.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I have heard that to a degree. I think that's one of the reasons Evan Turner is here. He's kind of like a translator. He can take Brad's message and present it to the guys maybe differently because he's played in the league. I believe the Celtics felt that was one of the weaknesses maybe of their coaching staff, not enough guys who were ex-players, ex-NBA players, to be able to sort of filter and relay the message coming from Brad. I don't think they've tuned him out completely, but is there a tune-out factor there? Yes, I have heard that.
And for those that didn't watch this, or maybe you're just like, oh, okay, not only was the start terrible, the finish, you referenced it, 0 for 10, the Celtics over the final 4:15. They go 0 for 7 on three-pointers. Of those seven missed threes, six were classified as open to wide open. Some Marcus Smart, like, they couldn't make defensive stops. They just looked like they didn't want to be there. And again, that goes back to the coach. So, like, have they tuned him out? They're too reliant on the three. They're certainly too reliant on Marcus Smart, and Marcus Smart is just as complicit in that because he thinks he's Steph Curry 2.0.
Boy, if there ever was a no Marcus, no shot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that three that he jacked up, it was, I mean, I was like, I screamed at my television. I was like, no, Marcus, no. It's like when you have a pet that you love and you're like, oh, he's so good and he's so loyal. And it's like, oh, this pet makes my life better. But then the pet does something and you're like, no, don't do that. That's like literally what it was like. It's like, Marcus, I love you, but don't know, Marcus, you know better. Don't do that.
And I know what the pushback is going to be. The Nets have come back down to earth.
Yes.
It's six games into the season. The Lakers have a couple of losses. Milwaukee's 3-3. Miami, yeah, I think, is sub 500.
Well, I don't think it's panic time against the Celtics. I mean, you're not saying it's time to panic.
No,
right?
It's not time to panic.
Because it's not.
But I think it's okay to say they just might be an average team. Like, you know.
I would say, yeah, I mean, average. Look, I think that it's going to be hard to evaluate them until we know what Kemba Walker is. They really need Kemba Walker. If he can't come back healthy and this is what it's going to be, then yeah, maybe they're like the sixth or seventh seed in the East. I love what I've seen from Jaylen Brown. They're just overly dependent, I think, on Brown and Tatum at this point. I hate the two bigs lineup. It stinks. I don't know why they're doing it. I think they have to try and switch it up. But then I look at it and I say, there's just not enough off that bench. There's not enough bench scoring. You have Teague. Robert Williams can do some stuff. He can run to the rim, but there's just what I don't understand. And again, I'm going to go back to it because I know I sound like a broken record. The year that Gordon Hayward came back from the gruesome leg injury, Brad had an attitude of, okay, he's not that good now. He's not really earning these minutes, but this is a long-term investment. We're going to need this guy. I know that Aaron Nesmith is a rookie and hasn't accomplished anything near what Gordon Hayward has in this league. But it's the same thing. With Kemba Walker out, now is the time to try and figure out what you can get from this guy, because you're short on wings. And when Brad is like, oh, you know, it's hard for him to crack the rotation, we have a lot of wings. Where? Other than Tatum, what are these other wings? Semi Ojeleye? Who are these other wings you're talking about? Yeah. Who are these other wings? They need him, Kemba or not. They need to figure out a way to make him a contributor. And now is the time. Like, it's a 72-game season. Are you out there? I understand you want to win every game, but realistically, you're not going to do it. This was a game where you could have thrown him in there and seen, you know, just let's see what happens. The only way he's going to learn is by playing. And I feel like it is a investment. It's an investment in the long-term health of the team to integrate him into the team, because you need more scoring and you need more wings. And where else are you going to get it?
All right. Ugly loss last night, again, for the Celtics against the lowly Detroit Pistons. And okay, you know, one bad game. It shouldn't affect how you feel about the team too much. But I don't know. I just keep looking at them, Chris, and I find a team that is sloppy. They find the same ways to lose games over and over again, chucking up too many threes. Again, does Marcus Smart, like, running into a must-have three-pointer with about 19 seconds on the shot clock? Is that what you want?
By the way, go back.
Marcus Smart.
Go. Jaylen Brown made a really, you know, there were some plays where Jaylen Brown made a really nice pass, but go back and watch that three and watch the body language of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum as they go back up the court. Look at the body language of those two guys after Smart misses. It's like, oh, I thought we were over this.
Or maybe they're just hungover on New Year's Day. Most people are, right? And especially after 2020, he really had to imbibe. But maybe that's what it was. But still, I find that inexcusable. Inexcusable that they lost to the Pistons yesterday. Your thoughts on this game and this team so far, as this is the second Sports Hub Celtic show of the year. It's Jim Murray and Chris Gasper, and you. If you want to join us at 617-779-0985, we'll get to your calls next.
This is the Sports Hub Celtic show. This is Jaylen Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We Honda.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think you're always wondering why you don't start. There's two teams playing. They obviously started well, so that was probably a large part of it. But I thought the most obvious sign of it was our transition running offensively, and it bled into the rest of the game. I just didn't think we ran hard. So we did at the end of the game. We did a good job. But hey, these guys are long. They're athletic. They're well coached. Like, they're going to be really hard to score on if we start offense at 14 and, you know, it's not really crisp.
Brad Stevens, after yesterday's loss, yesterday evening, however the hell you want to say it, Celtics lose to the Pistons 96-93. I just don't think it's been a good look for Brad in recent losses. Not just yesterday, Chris, going back to the one that they blew against, I think, a mediocre Pacers team. I know they split there, but that first one and that last shot taken by Jason Tatum in that game, I came away from that one feeling like, well, okay, that play was that drawn up for Jason Tatum, and granted, he basically shot it from midcourt, but still, like, was that the play? Or was that not the play? And Jason Tatum was like, nah, the hell with this, I'm just getting mine, I'm shooting this, I'm going to ignore you. Like, I can't help but feeling, and I know I'm not alone in this, that some of these guys might have tuned Brad Stevens out a little bit. Yeah, they kind of respect him, but not fully, and I don't know, it's just, I've seen too much ISO ball. Again, that shot by Tatum there against the Pacers, like, ugh. Like, and so what is that? And this awful start yesterday against a terrible Detroit
team. They got down 21. Finished.
It just, I don't know. They listening to this guy? Have they tuned him out? Do the troika of Tatum and Brown and Marcus Smart, who thinks he's like some sort of offensive weapon, do they look at it as like, well, this is our team and we're going to be leaders, and Brad's just kind of like over there?
I think those are all strong-willed guys. I think they all have their own individual goals as well as team goals. And I think there is an element to, look, that's still the biggest knock on Brad Stevens, I think, or question. Can he deal with NBA all-star superstar egos? I mean, it has not gone well. And you can look at it and say, okay, Kyrie, no one can deal with Kyrie. That's fine. He had Rondo. And you say, oh, you know, Rondo's mercurial. He's difficult. Okay. But at what point do you look at it and say he has a difficult time relating to the superstar player, getting the superstar player on board? Now, in fairness to Brad, what you're talking about with Jason Tatum in that first Pacers game, he drew up two great plays last night to get Tatum and Brown looks late, and the guys just missed. He got them wide open looks. Yeah. Those were two really good plays that got them wide open looks, and they missed. And I still think where he needs to get through to these guys, if he can, is that, and this is typical Celtics, and it's been this way for a while with the Troika that you mentioned, they think they've arrived at a place they're not at yet. And that's why you see them get down by 17 and get down by 21. You know, because you think you're like going out there and you're like the 72 win Bulls and you'll just turn it on when you need to and then walk away with the win. And you guys are good. Tatum, you're an all-star. Jaylen Brown, you should be an all-star. Marcus, you're a player. you know, you guys are good, but you're not as good as you think. And you can't just snap your fingers and turn it on like that and expect to win all the time. And I feel like that's something he has. That's a message that for a couple of years now, he's had a difficult time imparting. This is a team that has consistently had a higher opinion of itself than it should.
Up 5 with the ball, 4 minutes to play, and they go 0-11. Against the Detroit Pistons.
But some of that, again, was like, who's on the floor?
Yeah.
You know, Grant, and part of this is Danny. Well, what happened with all your great draft picks? Okay, you know, we're up. Oh, wide open three for who? What? It's not Cameron Johnson, who can shoot threes for the Phoenix Suns. Oh, it's not Desmond Bane, who's playing pretty well for the Memphis Grizzlies, and you trade. Oh, it's Grant Williams shooting this three? I mean, that's not the coach's fault. What's he going to do, you know, other than play Aaron Nesmith? Like, what are you going to do? The guys he has taking shots, Marcus Smart and Grant Williams in that situation, are not guys you want taking those shots.
Cam in Taunton, first up here on the Sports Hub Celtics show this afternoon. Hey, Cam, Happy New Year.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year to you, too. What's infuriating to me, it feels like every single one of the problems from the bubble have continued into this year. Like, the shot selection at the end of these quarters and games by Tatum, even the one that he made against Milwaukee, it's horrendous. You're settling for these fadeaway sidestep threes when all you need is two at the end of these. And now, granted, I know that was Giannis, but the one against the Pacers was inexcusable. And they can't defend inbound passes in the final second. They almost gave that game away with the inbound pass to Giannis. And then also the going away from the hot player. And this goes back years. This goes back to that game 7 against the Cavs. Tatum dunks on LeBron, hits a three, and then they didn't go back to him the rest of the game when they lost. Brown and Tatum took 3 combined shots in the final 4.5 minutes of that game last night. 3. While Marcus Smart's out there hucking threes. This goes back to the hierarchy problem. Marcus Smart, who thinks he's Allen Iverson, thinks Tatum and Brown have to answer to him. Like, this is just, it doesn't mesh. It doesn't mesh.
I'm with Cam on this. They lose these games in the exact same fashion, and you need more shots at the hoop. And it's one at the bucket in the last 4 minutes, too many jump shots from 3, 8 in the last 4 minutes, 14 free throws for the game. Like, and it's all that same thing. And that's left over from these recent years, you know, these last few years. Like, yeah. Not a lot has changed. So, again, is that a reflection of the coach? And what is that? Like, does the system not work? Can he not get through to certain players? Have players tuned him out? Like, yes, the players are as responsible, too. But I don't know. Steven, so far, I think, has not looked great in this early start of the season.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, I would definitely agree with that. And I think the bigger picture question is his inability to corral or connect with superstar type players, transcendent type players at this point. Does that affect how the organization goes about things? Is that a reason why maybe you think twice about a James Harden deal? Because you don't feel like Brad can really handle that guy. And that's one of the questions. Is there this sort of artificial ceiling on the Celtics based on who Brad is comfortable coaching and who the Celtics are comfortable putting on the team for him?
Andrew and Alston on Brad Stevens. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics show, Andrew.
All right, Happy New Year. Just a warning, I'm about to go off because I'm very frustrated.
Okay.
Questions need to be asked about Brad Stevens. His lineups are awful. His in-game management is awful. He doesn't know how to use timeouts. He doesn't know how to stop runs. He doesn't know when to challenge. Like the run at the Bucks game, people forget the Celtics were up 15 in that game.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing he does well is draw up plays like Gasper reference, that 3 by Brown should have went. Yes,
yeah,
that was a good play.
Great play.
But other than that, he can't coach. and it's frustrating as heck. Like last night, you say that the Pistons, the Celtics might be hungover. The 0-4 Pistons are going to be hungover, if anything. It's unreal. It's like, what's going on? And I can't do it anymore. And you say that they might be an average team. No, Brad makes them average. They're above average. Brad is bringing them down, and that's an issue.
Do you think, do you agree with that?
No, I don't think Brad's bringing them down, but I do think there's an idea that there's sort of an artificial. I think Brad was the ideal coach when you had sort of young guys, NBA retreads. He's great with a bunch of overachievers. There's no question about that. He's been great his entire career with that. Go back to Butler and the two Final Fours he made, the back-to-back Final Fours. But when you hand him a team, and this goes back to a couple of years ago when they got bounced in the second round with Milwaukee, when you hand him a team where now they're closer to being the hunted than the hunters, can he get through to those guys? Can he get them to still play as hard when they feel like they've achieved something or they've arrived? That's really the question about, and that was the question I had way back when they hired him. Could he deal with NBA egos? And I still have a question in my mind about that. And like I said, you know, I've heard some stuff. It started in the bubble last year. You know, I heard some stuff about the team feeling like maybe, you know, guys in the locker room have tuned him out a little bit. Now, to what degree, I don't know. But I look at that Evan Turner hire, and that 100% has to do with the idea that they feel like they need another voice to relay the message other than Brad's.
And will he be the guy to be able to get it through, or should they have looked at more of a Kendrick Perkins type? And I know that Perk has the sweet TV gig, and I think he's great on TV, but I don't know. Evan Turner does. I feel like you need like a fire and brimstone type in there.
Maybe.
Evan Turner.
Someone you're maybe a little afraid of.
Yeah. Kendrick Perkins would certainly be that.
Someone who's going to pick like Marcus Smart up by the scruff of the neck and be like, enough. Like, you know, like Perk would do. It's a good point. Here's the thing though. We're talking about with Brad. Like, Brad's not going anywhere. They gave Brad an extension.
Oh, we know.
They're invested in Brad.
That's part of what makes it so effing frustrating.
I mean, other than Jason Tatum, I don't think there's another person in the organization that they're more invested in than Brad Stevens.
He's coach for life, is how
he's not going anywhere. So they need to figure this out and the best way to go about it.
All right. We have one open line you want to join us here on the Celtics, 617-779-0985. We'll get to more of your calls coming up next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A dominant performance for the Celtics, but this was Jaylen Brown's night. A career-high 42. Everything he touched turned to gold tonight as the Celtics come from 17 down to beat the Pacers in Indianapolis, and 24 hours later come home and blow the Grizzlies away. The final score, Boston 126, Memphis 107, behind a career-high 42 for Jaylen Brown.
At first, I had no idea I was playing. And then towards the end of the game, when I got sucked out, like 2 minutes or 3 minutes left on the clock or something in the third quarter, they were telling me, like, dang, you're right at your career high, which is only 34 points. And then I gave Brad a little wink. Can I get two more minutes? And he let me go back out there. So with that type of responsibility that Brad gave me, I wanted to make sure that I still play basketball the right way. You know, and it just happened to fall. Stuff happened to just go the way they did. But just trying to handle everything responsibly.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown the other night. Career high 42 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and the Celtics' dominant 126-107 win over the Grizzlies. And everyone falling all over themselves about the 42 points for Jaylen Brown. And look, that was great.
I did love every second of that.
Yeah, it was great. It was very entertaining. And, you know, awesome. It could show you what he can do offensively. And,
3 quarters.
You know, so many people were wrong when he was picked that high. And look, the read on him coming out of college is that, well, he's going to have to work on his shot. And I thought his handle was sloppy early on in his career. Like,
it was.
He's fixed that.
You're right.
He's become, you know,
a much better passer. He makes some great plays.
It's also a terrible Memphis Grizzlies team. So, like, everyone keep it in your pants. And the prior night, the loss, or the couple going back a couple of games against Indiana, Like, get in his hand more. We had to take 13 shots in that loss to the Pacers. Like, I don't know. Like, I sometimes think, and this goes back to the coach, Chris, like, I sometimes think some of Jaylen Brown's offensive inconsistencies has to do with the fact that he's not getting the ball enough.
Yeah, there's an element of that, and you can put that on Brad. I put that maybe a little more, though, on Tatum. Tatum has become a little bit of a Antoine Walker basketball black hole ball stopper. He has. He really, I mean, the ball just stops a lot of times with him, you know, because he has to do his 19 fancy dribbles and his sidestep travel, which eventually they will start calling him for. And it's just, I think he's just trying to do a little too much. You know, obviously he made a huge leap last year, and I think he's trying to make another leap of similar fashion this year, and I think he's just trying a little too hard at times. You know, yes, he can break guys down one-on-one, but I still think when you have Brown and Tatum, if you can move the basketball and get those guys in positions where they either have mismatches or they can make quick moves, that helps the offense. And one of the things I liked the most about Tatum last year was I thought his passing was excellent. I actually think he's taken a step back this year. Not that he's not a good passer anymore, but he's not looking for those plays. He can make them. He learned to make them last year, but he's not hunting them, making them, looking for them the same way he did.
We have Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, with us. He's usually here producing the show, but he also covers the Celtics for BostonSportsJournal.com. Of course, if you're not reading them, what the hell's wrong with you? B-Rob, have we been unfair about our assessment of Brad Stevens so far this season? What do you make of this disaster yesterday?
No, this is fair. This is all fair. I do think, and Chris brought this up, the roster construction to me is what's most glaring at this point. With if you're not going to play Aaron Nesmith right now, and I don't know if that's a Brad issue or, you know, a Danny issue there, but you need another wing coming off the bench. Like, just plain and simple, because you have the likes of Grant Williams playing crunch time, Shemi Ojeleye chasing around shooters. It's just not a good formula when you are shorthanded already. And you lost Gordon Hayward, and you knew Romeo Langford were going to be out for the first couple of months here. So I don't know how much longer it's going to take them to address this, guys. But, you know, it's clearly costing them, you know, in parts of games through the six games so far.
Is he going to stick with this bigs lineup? I mean, I know it just starts the game. It doesn't necessarily finish it. But are we going to stick with this?
I think they'll give it maybe a little bit more run. Here's the problem from that standpoint. You want to play Rob Williams. You want to play Grant Williams, too, since those are young guys you want to develop. So if you go smaller, you don't have, you know, one of those guys is probably going to have to sit down. So I think that's they're trying to, like, squeeze as much.
Oh, the horror.
Right, exactly, which is, to be honest, like, you know, who cares? Like, make it work. But if it isn't working on both ends of the floor right now, and you have slow starts, like you've alluded to, Jim, like, what you can't be losing games like this to the Pistons. When you have an alternative in place, you throw Teague or Pritchard in the starting five and you kind of take care of it.
I'll say this about, you know, the Celtics. And again, this is where I defend Brad a little bit. There's not necessarily great options at his disposal. I look at some of Shemi Ojeleye, Carson Edwards, even Grant Williams, who I like, you know, but I look at Grant Williams and I see like a less offensively talented version of like a Ryan Gomes. You know, these are not really guys that should be part of a rotation or should be playing, and they don't have a lot of upside. There's just not a lot of ceiling with those guys. So that's where I sort of give Brad a little bit of a pass. But it's like, you know, B-Rob saying, Jim, oh, Grant Williams would be out of the rotation. Yeah, fine. He probably should be. I mean, great. He's just not that good. He's not bad, but, you know, he's like one of those, like, he's like an energy guy.
Zach in Watertown on the Celtics starting five. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Zach.
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, so with the starting lineup, it amazes me that in this league where three-point shooting is a must-have, you know, they're starting three guys around Tatum and Brown who literally can't shoot the three-pointer effectively at all. So what gets me is you draft Nesmith and you don't play him, and then last night you see Sadiq Bey drain five three-pointers, and you just mentioned the roster construction versus what Brad's doing. So it's interesting. You have Brad starting two bigs, and then you have Danny missing on draft picks, and it just seems like I have no idea what they're trying to do to support their main guys.
How about Desmond Bane? Like, you know, again, we talked about with the roster construction, you know, going into the draft, like they literally did not have enough roster spots unless they dropped someone to use all those first-round picks. But they draft Bane, end up trading him to Memphis. They draft him 30th overall. Wouldn't you have rather just done away with a Carson Edwards or a Semi Ojeleye, or I mean, even Grant Williams, to keep Desmond Bane, a shooting wing, on your roster?
Yes.
I mean, that would have been so much better. I just don't get it. I really don't. It's like a bunch of, you know, their bench is a bunch of mediocre bigs.
And you have four or five undersized guards on top of that. Like Carson Edwards, Teague, Pritchard, and Tremont Waters. You need all those guys if you don't have wings right now. It's just, I understand you, it's, you want to develop these guys and you don't want to give up on someone a year into their career, but it's, you're missing a key part of your roster when you lose Hayward. Langford's gone, and you just don't have wings.
We'll go to Raphael in Brockton. You're next here in the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Hey, Raphael.
Hey, how you guys doing? Happy New Year.
You too.
Happy New Year, Raphael.
Yeah, I just wanted to call because I wanted to put this Miles Turner to the Celtics thing to bed. And I say that because if you look at Miles Turner's stats and you look at, you do the eye test, and you look and see how Miles Turner plays, he plays defense like Hassan Whiteside in terms of, he misses on some of the assignments and he plays rogue. So he's not in the defensive system. He's actually roaming around to get blocks, which is not necessarily good because the thing about it is getting blocks is more about how porous your defense is. Now, I don't like Miles Turner's game overall because he shoots too many three-pointers. He's shooting about four. This year he's shooting four a game, a little over four a game at 18%. Now, Daniel Tice is shooting at 15%. The problem with that is you have somebody like Miles Turner on the Celtics shooting as many shots, if not more, than some of these other guys. So he's, in essence, another Marcus Smart. So between the defensive assignment missing and the three-point shooting, Miles Turner is nothing more than Daniel Tice fused with Robert Williams. And that would be a problem for the Celtics if you have him on the Celtics team.
Chris, would you like to counter? Because
yeah,
I know you were a Miles Turner stan.
He's right. I mean, Miles Turner's gotten off to a very, very slow start this year. There's no question about that. I've always said he's a younger player. He's 24. I think there's more upside there, certainly more upside than with a Daniel Tice. And I just think in Brad's system, he'd be a better player. I think part of the issue in Indiana is that he's there with Sabonis at the same time, and I don't think there's enough floor spacing there. He might be right about the threes. He might shoot too many threes, but in Brad's system, they would want the bigs to shoot threes, and I think he might get better looks playing off of Tatum and Brown than he's getting in Indiana. I just think we're five games into the year. I mean, this is a guy who, I'll go back the last one, two, three, four seasons. Here's what he shot from three. 34-8, 35-7, 38-8, 34-4. For a seven-foot big, that's decent, and for a team that wants its bigs to shoot threes, I think he'd be a good fit. You know, I like the player. I could be wrong. I think there's more upside there.
He glides, you know, and watching him against those against the Pacers those last couple of games, like, I don't know, he's just, there's more talent there, right?
There is, yeah. I mean, if you could get him in shape, get a little bit more out of him. I don't necessarily agree with the, I mean, I don't think he's like hunting blocks all the time. He's not a great pick and roll defender, I'll give you that. But I don't think he's like hunting blocks all the time. And he, in one of those games, he had a block that was just like unbelievable. Yeah. It was just like, get this garbage out of here. And I know, and I think the Celtics could use a little of that. So I just think there's more upside there than Tice. And also, to go back to our discussion in general, if you got another wing, even if it was just a wing shooter like Doug McDermott in that trade, let's see what they do with the trade exception. It could all work out in the end. But boy, they really could have used the other wing that Indiana was offering at the time.
Or maybe they could use James Harden. I don't know if I've got your opinion on this, because okay, now it's rumored that this the Celtics are one of the teams he would accept a trade to. We'll touch on that coming up next here on Sports Hub Celtic Show with more of your calls at 617-779-0985.
This is the Sports Hub Celtic Show. This is Salem Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Who needs James Harden? Let's cancel that right now. When you got a guy like Jaylen Brown doing what he do, and I know he hear the trade rumors, but this man is balling out of control right now. I mean, he's on the mission.
That's Kendrick Perkins the other night on NBC Sports Boston after the big win over the Grizzlies. Jaylen Brown goes out, balls out. Now he's putting up more than 40 points. Yeah, who needs a James Harden? Do you agree or disagree there, Chris Casper?
I would say that I disagree. However, they need a James Harden. In an ideal world, it's James Harden, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, but that's not going to work. So if the question now is boiled down to would you trade Jaylen Brown for James Harden, I would not. Not because I think Jaylen Brown is so good. It's just I don't think Brad could handle James Harden. Harden is 31 years old. He'd be an upgrade. I just don't think it makes you a championship team. Who I would trade Jaylen Brown for, and I think there's an opportunity here for them to capitalize on the way Jaylen Brown is playing, I would trade Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal, because Bradley Beal is boys with Jason Tatum. I think that that would maybe satiate Tatum for the long term. Beal is a guy who averages 30 a game. He's 27. I still think he could get better. And maybe Tatum and Beal can sort of recruit a third guy, or there's at least enough runway there. And those guys, that's my issue with Harden. He's 31. I don't think there's enough runway left in his career for you to go like reconfigure the team and get the third guy you need to win.
So does Kemba Walker ostensibly become a bench player then?
If that were to I just don't know if you can rely on Kemba to be the third guy.
Well, I'm with you on that, but
he might have to be like the fourth guy.
But so if you were to bring in Bradley Beal.
Yes.
And so, you know, again, you're going to relegate Kemba Walker to bench status?
What do you mean by bench status? I'm just talking about you need three stars. Like, he could still start.
No,
just,
I know, but now you have a glut of guards, I feel like, so.
If I swap Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what's my glut of guards? Marcus Smart?
Okay.
Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker, I got to get a third guy.
What about Karl Anthony Towns?
Peyton Pritchard?
If Minnesota was willing to move him.
Yeah, I would do that. Yeah. I would trade Jaylen Brown for Karl Anthony Towns. Just because, it just sort of redistributes what your balance is, and now you have like one of those bigs. Karl Anthony Towns, I've always liked him as a player. He's kind of had a disappointing career, but I still think there's a little bit more there. And if he ever gets his head screwed on straight, it's like he could be Anthony Davis.
All right, 617-779-0985. Want to join us here? Any Celtics thoughts left over here before we wrap up, get into the final hour of Gasper and Murray, and turn our attention back to the Patriots, do some football stuff, and also want to get Chris's thoughts on Zdeno Chara, who's no longer a Boston Bruin. I didn't think that's something I would say. Joe in New Hampshire on the Celtics. Go ahead, Joe.
Love the show. Thank you for having me on. Just real quick, I just want to talk about how frustrating sometimes it is when you see or you can see the answers right in front of your face. And some people in your life or teams that you love never seem to take the easy answer. I mean, if you look at it, everywhere you point to, every team that has success picks the star player over the coach. And every team that picks the coach goes into the absolute trash can. You can look at the Patriots. And then you could juxtapose them against the Packers. The Packers switch out their coach, and it like re-engages Aaron Rodgers. And it's just so frustrating because in the league, out of all the four sports leagues, the team, it's a fight between baseball managers and NBA head coaches as to on which one is basically just there to grab the balls and put them back on the rack at the end of practice. And it just frustrates me. It's just like, yeah, we signed Tatum and stuff like that. But you just see that like everything is telling the Celtics to cater to the players, to cater to the star players and try to keep them here. And it's like they just ignore all the writing on the wall to try to keep their program in case. And you know why? It's because Danny doesn't want to be wrong. He doesn't want to be wrong on a trade. He doesn't want to be wrong on a signing. He doesn't even want to be wrong on giving a coach an extension. But it's like my 8-year-old cousin. I'm teaching him how to watch basketball and how to yell at the TV correctly. And he even is jumping off the couch saying, why aren't we calling timeouts when a team rips off a 10-1 run in a minute and 30 seconds, and then you don't put any – it's like the same mistakes, and even with the players. It's like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to the rim in the fourth quarter, and they erase a huge lead by just going to the basket. And it's not even like they were money at the basket. They were getting fouls, and they were shooting free throws. And then it's like 2 minutes to go in the game, the poo-poo starts flowing from the green shorts, and they start just absolutely chucking. And can I get one more thing in here? I'm sorry, I'm already sweating. But, like, can I get one more thing in here? That pull-up three from Marcus effing Smart with a minute 30 to with 22 seconds to go on the shot clock.
It's a great
memory. Like, are you serious? Are you serious? And everybody's praising Marcus Smart, like, oh, shot selection. I don't give a crap what his shot selection is like in the first, second, and third quarter. I don't care. Sometimes he can shoot you back into a game. That's okay. But when all the marbles are on the table, there's 2 minutes left in the game, and you're hanging onto a two-point lead, or you're trying to fight back after you just let it peter out, and you're having Marcus Smart, when you have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who are quote-unquote budding superstars on the court, you can even see Jalen Brown's face. You can see it. He throws his hands up and puts his hands over his head. I can't. All right. I got to stop, guys.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks. Great call.
Good call. Good energy.
Yeah,
can understand the frustration that was.
He's right about. I mean, go back and watch it, people. He's right about Jaylen Brown. Yeah. Brown and Tatum were both kind of like, oh.
I mean,
we're back in the bubble now.
And after the Smart drive, too. Watch Tatum walk away.
Oh, really?
Tatum was open in the corner on that drive, and you can watch immediately the face on him and Jaylen after that play.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Jim and B-Rob, Marcus Smart, he loves himself some hero ball, man. He just can't help himself.
He is a chucker.
He loves hero ball the way James Harden loves strip clubs. He just can't help himself.
Remember, I thought it was so telling. It was one of those, I think it was after the draft that Danny Ainge appeared on Toucher and Rich, and he caught himself and referred to, you know, talking about the core. And he's like, well, with Tatum and Brown and Marcus, like, he felt the need to include Marcus. Yes. And it's like, no, you're playing into it.
Tristan Thompson did it too. He's like, these young stars. He's like, you know, Tatum, Brown, and Smart. And I'm like, no, that's like a different level. It's like, it's not a trio. It's a duo.
Yeah.
Okay. Marcus Smart is a background singer. He's a backup singer. There's two guys that are like up front.
That's the equivalent of, like, you know, say it's last year, Brady's still here. It's like, you know, Brady, Belichick, and Marcus Cannon. You know, like, huh? Like, no, he's a nice player, good role piece, not really a factor, but boy, oh, Marcus Smart certainly thinks he is, and they placate him. Like,
they do.
Stop it.
They do. And in fourth quarter last night, you know, 0-3, 0-2 from 3, and, you know, no points. In fact, they shot 7-22 in the fourth quarter, and 6 of the makes came from Tatum and Brown. The one other make was Jeff Teague.
Like, what the? Jordan, Pippen. Bill Wennington. Yeah, like, come on. Stop it. Dean and Shrewsbury in the Celtics. Go ahead, Dean.
Jordan, Pippen, Kerr.
Yeah.
Apparently, they still need Tommy Heinsohn to tell them to take it to the basket because, Brad, I've been so high on Brad for so long, but there's something wrong there. I can't stand it now. I had the Celtics winning the championship before these 6 games, but man, if they can't perform in the clutch, they have no chance. It's the same reason they lost to Miami. And about the body language, the caller and you, Gasper, nailed what I was going to say.
Okay.
Tatum and Brown's body language, their shoulders were slouched, their head went down. And they did that before the shot even left Marcus's hand.
Dean, thanks.
That's a good point, Dean.
Thanks for the call.
I now have to go back and watch that.
That's the lowest they've ever heard him, ever.
Dean, I know. Dean. He's so positive.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. But that was a great point. He's like, yeah, the shoulders slumped, the head was bowed, and that's before the shot even left his hand. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's an area where you hoped that. This was one of my fears with Kemba Walker being out, was that some of the progress I hope they had made in the offseason, Jim, with Marcus Smart in terms of getting him to understand his role. I always say this, like, he can play on my team any day of the week, but what good is a role player who doesn't understand or accept his role? And this is part of the problem with Kemba being out and Gordon Hayward being away. There's shots up for grabs, and Marcus Smart can't help himself. It's like, you know that kid when you leave out the Halloween candy and it says, just take one.
No, it takes the whole bowl.
And dumps the whole bowl in his back. That's Marcus Smart. He's like, shots? There's shots up for grabs? Guys, you know, I'm a shot maker. You know, I was the number 6 pick. I can make these plays. I don't feel the pressure. I'm a playmaker. I'll take these shots. And it's like, no, Marcus, no, don't do it.
We'll continue to take your calls on the Celtics if you want to weigh in at 617-779-0985. Other things we do want to touch on, get back to the Patriots. I also want to get Chris's thoughts on Zdeno Chara no longer being a member of the Boston Bruins. We'll get to all that in the last hour of Casper Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub after the Hub headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.